people, whole nine yards people.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, just come right in there.
We just pop in.
Yeah.
We don't know when.
No.
It just happens. Go.
Yeah, and that music, it'll fade out when we say it.
Yeah, we're in control of the fades.
Yeah, just let that go. We are enjoying ourselves in a great way.
Yes.
Still in the social distance Saturday, Sunday, and Monday sort of way, but we're here.
Here we are.
Yeah. I mean, you might be listening to this podcast in 2024 and saying, what is he talking about?
We've dated ourselves.
Yeah.
No more timelessness from us.
No. But we have more. There's that music going out now, huh? I don't even know. It's not even a fair thing.
We can't hear it yet.
No.
We just imagine it.
Yeah.
This would be a good place for it.
It felt like where it should go. So, food.
Foodstuffs.
Stuffs and products.
Yeah.
And words.
Phrases.
Idioms about food, right, Ray?
They're food related. They have food inclinations in them.
Food inclinations, I like to say.
Exactly. Yeah. So foodstuffs. I can kick us off if you don't care.
Yeah, kick us off. What do you have?
Small potatoes.
Small potatoes?
Yes.
All right, let's hear that.
Well, if I'm going to define it as an inconsequential amount, would you agree?
Yeah. Yes, I would concur.
That's small potatoes.
Yes.
Compared to something else, which are larger potatoes. Yeah.
Right.
So, sorry.
No, I was just going to remember we had the Big Apple.
Right.
And it was a jazz thing about small apples.
Small apples. You're right. That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't seem to play into this.
Santa Maria.
This is a youngish phrase, I guess, like Big Apple. 19th century was when this phrase took off. And it seems like it is a progeny to a very similar phrase written by an English poet, critic, and philosopher, Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Oh, he's got a nice name.
Yes, I agree. In a letter dated 17th July 1797, so this is early, he's talking about authors he's meeting in London. And he doesn't think very highly of them. He says, whom I have met with yet, the London literati appeared to me to be very much like little potatoes. That is, no great things. A compost of nullity and dullity.
Jeez, he's kind of harsh.
Harsh in the 1797s. Yes. So that is a very similar phrase. Little potatoes to small potatoes. Right?
Yeah. So do we have a lot of delineation between little and small?
Not really.
Okay.
It seems that that is the first, inkling of this idea, which is 1797. And then what I found is the phrase caught on in a greater sense in the early, what do you call it? It's 1832. What is that? The first third of the 1800s?
I just go with early.
Early 1800s. Was a first print usage, and then I found an 1835, the Daily Pittsburgh Gazette usage.
Go home.
Yeah, I was like, look at that. Quote, Vermont continues strong in the ranks of the opposition, having at the recent election returned 3/4 of her numbers to the state legislature, either anti-Masons or Whigs. The Van Buren forces are in the language of an Eastern editor, small potatoes and a few in a hill. So the phrase is longer in that sense than the little potatoes that Coleridge shot at us earlier. So this small potatoes and a few on a hill.
Few on a hill was part of the saying.
It's a part of the saying. It gets used again in 1890 by a Mr. Rudyard Kipling, who was an author. Jungle Book, right? In the other one, Rikki Tikki Tavi, a bunch of other stuff.
I'll accept that.
Yeah. The head of the district, 1890, has the line, man that is born of woman is small potatoes and few in the hill. Same thing, similar usage with that whole phrase.
What's he trying to say with that?
That it's inconsequential, and even the things that are of consequence are even littler. I that's how I'm taking it, you know what I mean? But I could be misinterpreting that.
Aren't all men born of women?
Oh, that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So he's just saying everybody.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, right. You know, the writers.
Yeah.
You gotta bring it.
Yeah.
The flourishes.
I can't just say everybody. I've gotta find a new way.
Yeah. Make us think.
Sure.
Bring
no.
us in. Take yeah. us on the journey.
I appreciate that. I'm slow on the uptake.
It's all right. I don't know, it's the most enjoyable research that I found with this one was from a different phrase that is much, much older, which is from our buddy, Billy Shakespeare.
Man, he has all of them.
He uses the term small beer, which is the same, using it in the same way as we would use small potatoes, trivial matters, inconsequential. But he's using this is from wordhistories.net. The term small beer denotes beer of low alcoholic strength, beer of poor or inferior quality. The usage of this adjective small, meaning low alcohol quantity, dates back to the 1400s. So I personally think that the small potatoes doesn't seem that far off from the small beer of the 1400s.
Since beer is food, as we know.
We know that beer is food. Food has no alcoholic content, but beer has food content.
And so this would have been very late 16th century or something.
The Shakespeare is that, yes, but this small term dates back to 1400s. Talking about the low alcoholic quantity. So small in the 1400s means very low alcohol quantity. Or one of the definitions.
So you think it made a jump from small beer to small potatoes because Shakespeare would have made it more popular, the small beer thing, and then something like that?
I mean, I personally think that, but the actual evidence...
Oh.
Well, I'm just saying,
yeah.
The evidence that we have points to Coleridge as the strongest link in
He's
the little
the
potatoes.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you listen to him?
But same thing, like to me, I mean, we're reading Shakespeare, we're, you know, it's coming across in the language that we're reading before 1797. So I would assume that we would adopt it, right? I mean, we adopt things we read all the time.
Yes.
And that's what you do. That's how you learn. So I personally would say it's probably older than that, but the strongest link would be the little potatoes to the small potatoes. Small potatoes.
Small potatoes.
Ta-da.
Ha.
Sorry, I gotta stop doing that.
We have done a number of...
It's been a bunch of them, I feel like, when I don't have a good wrap-up. I need like a smoke bomb. I should just yell smoke bomb. Nah, that'll get old too.
I mean, yeah, you just gotta keep changing it up.
Yeah. So what's your food stuff?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about it. Pound salt.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the first time I heard it, I was in the ninth grade and I quit in the ninth grade. This was probably why. So that vice principal was listening, although I forget his name.
Aww.
You caused me to drop out of school. He was angry at me for, I don't know, something I did. I'm sure I was a troublemaker.
Rabble rousing.
Yeah. And so he was throwing me out of the school and he told me to go pound salt.
Yeah.
Which, when it's the first time you hear it and you're 15 or whatever, you're like, what?
Right. You're like,
go do what now? Was that dirty? Should
something?
I report you? But no, I mean, we didn't report people back then.
No, you couldn't.
You were just like, whatever.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, so...
Go punch some salt, kid.
Yeah, and you... So as it turns out...
Yeah.
The fellow was on to something, that principal, even though he... I don't know if he was a jerk or if I was probably a jerk. So...
We're all the hero of our own stories, you know?
Yeah, I like to make it that way.
That's how it goes.
So, literally... And you hear this two different ways, I guess. You know, you also hear pound sand...
I have not heard that.
They're telling me you did.
No, okay. Well, they do know better than I do, because I definitely will forget things that I know.
So there's a funny definition that I guess comes from the Oxford English Dictionary, according to this research.
Classic.
Yeah. although I didn't get all the way to my Oxford English for this. It just was handed to me through three other levels. So this definition is, it's a pointless chore. The sand does not really compress or adhere to itself, so the result is largely indistinguishable from the starting point, which I like. So
that's
to go,
lovely.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
so to go pound sand, you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
And
that's nice.
Yeah. So this is one of those, as it seems to turn out, quite probably, possibly, but let's explore some things.
It's good to take in all the info.
It has a couple of different angles on it, and actually maybe some inversions to it, such as there is an older variation of this, or as we find out so many times, a longer part of it that explains, remember, like the devil to pay and no pitch.
Yeah. How are you going to forget that?
Bob's your uncle and Fanny's your aunt and all that. There's extra parts that somehow got lost to time.
There's no time for this. Yeah.
No, literally and figuratively. So here's an old quote from, "He ain't got sense enough to pound sand in a rat hole."
Okay.
So this version of it seems to actually be older, and it meant just that. So if you had rats in a rat hole, you go put some sand in there, block them up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they're using it saying it doesn't have common sense. Yeah.
So that rat hole business, like I said, not that old, and it was, you know, mid-19th century-ish. Okay, and then later...
Common phrase about the mid-19th century.
Yeah, it's how we said things.
Go put some stuff in your rat hole, buddy.
Yeah, or you don't have any sense, do you?
No, right.
So later, that same century, it sort of got cheated down somewhat, and we get quotes like this. "He can't help us, for he doesn't know enough to pound sand." So you dropped off the rat hole.
Right.
Now it almost doesn't make sense, does it? Because
no.
If you had sense, you wouldn't pound the sand. I mean, would you?
Right, because it's useless.
But this permutation of it came up quite a bit there for a while. So I question my fellow 18th, 19th turn of the century folk.
That's disheartening.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
What are you going to do?
They were using it to mean no common sense, and then they meant it to mean futile?
Yeah.
But they...
And that's what I mean.
Yeah,
it flips,
guys.
Just by people, but we see this all the time.
Yeah,
they flip it out of whether it's out of alliteration or whatever. They change a word or somehow just the meaning. They just decide it's a different meaning over time.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Language is alive.
But yeah, right.
Yes.
Like that guy with a talk box. Guitar.
Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
Did he sing that one of the songs?
Yeah, he said, "Love is alive." I don't know if he said language is alive.
Well, love is a language.
Ha! Ha! Love is a language. So there's a funny twist to it again.
All right.
Because we have plenty of different versions of it, but most famous, the Fellows Farm, where Woodstock, the original famous outdoor concert festival, festival to begin all festivals. Not really, because we had Monterey Pop and everything before that.
The Oz Festival.
Yeah. You see, he told somebody, and many other people apparently had as well, to go pound salt up their backside.
Their rat holes, their own rat holes.
Their personal rat holes. Yeah.
Huh.
And that
seems
was
uncomfortable.
Popular. Well, I think it was meant to be.
Oh, I see. Not in a fun way.
But see, the irony of it is we told people to go pound salt instead of saying something more vulgar to make them go away. So we had a nice little pleasantry that was still rude,
right.
But and assertive, but not vulgar.
Not vulgar.
And then people can't have that. We got to add some vulgarness to it.
I mean, you were only polite for so long.
So now you have a sentence or a saying folded in on itself, and no one knows what to do with it anymore.
Oh, we're just the universe collapsing. Wow.
So, yeah. And so even though Max said that in what would have been, I guess 1969,
mm-hmm.
I found variations of that same use your backside for salt or sand going back to the 1950s.
Mm.
But I don't know if I've ever heard that version of it.
I don't believe I have either.
So we've kind of went back away.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
But that's not that old. You said 1950s?
Right. So, and then obviously it was pretty much 1970 when Max said that.
Right.
And then...
I've never heard that usage.
It faded again because, you know, I was only in ninth grade, 15 years ago, Ray?
Yeah.
And so by then, the vice principal was saying, go pound salt.
But he didn't mean the other part.
And maybe he did.
Oh, man.
But he left it out.
Right. So is this just misunderstood? Oh, no.
So, yeah. Well, but the gist of it, as we know,
right,
is... an exact beginning for it is not quite knowable.
It's built on sand, a foundation of sand, you'd say.
I would say that. and it's supposed to be used as we do use it, the same as go fly a kite, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
That we say, get lost.
Get lost.
Yeah. But I guess you can add a little color to it and make it worse, but... I don't have a, this guy in 1790 was pounding sand and then the other guy said, you know, I just don't have that for you.
No.
There is, it's unknowable at this juncture.
Ooh, unknowable.
Yeah.
At this juncture.
Huh.
Nice.
So, you know what's not unknowable, right?
What's that?
Our adverts.
Oh, I bet they could be very knowable.
If you just listen.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart. Online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo and purchase tour tickets for the museum at ClementeMuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's ClementeMuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
All right.
But we're back.
We are.
And we learned some things while we were gone.
I hope so.
I did. So I'm going to hop back in with some more food stuffs.
And your food stuff is?
Cold turkey.
Ah.
Which, sorry.
No, yeah.
Again. Without preparation, we'll say. What do you think about that?
I what?
Cold turkey, meaning without preparation.
I don't accept that one.
No, just suddenly? What are you saying?
Yeah, is something wrong with me? Am I not supposed to say what I really
you
think?
You can say what you think. I do it all the time. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we use that to quit something without... Am I not supposed to say this?
You can say it without preparation, right?
What?
You just like suddenly quit something, right?
Yeah, but it's not like getting the... What? Okay, go ahead. It's different from food, or
right.
Is it?
No, it's not. I'm not saying preparation is in a food sense, but you're quitting something instantly. I mean, I could say that, but I'm using it in a broader sense of it means with no preparation, like suddenly.
I didn't prepare to end.
Right, exactly. I just stopped. I'm like, no, it's done. I'm not going back or whatever.
Let's enjoy this one.
I get that it could be esoteric what I wrote there.
Oh, it was esoteric.
Sorry. Well, I mean to quit suddenly. How's that? Oh, sorry, everybody. The first usage I saw looked to be in around 1910. And it means the poet Robert Service is using it to... It sounds like he's referring it to being cheated at gambling. It's The Trail of 98, which was published in 1910. The quote is, "Once I used to gamble and drink the limit. One morning I got up from the card table after sitting there 36 hours. I'd lost $5,000. I knew they handed me out cold turkey, but I took my medicine." And it's saying that he meant to say he was cheated at cards by using the term cold turkey.
Handed me out cold turkey.
Handed me out cold turkey. They cheated him at cards.
I can't get there from there.
Handed me out could be dealt. I'm not sure. Same. We essentially, whatever.
Was, wait.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
It's just, okay, what it sounds like, knowing the little that I know, is that they just, so they cut him off. They just stopped him. He can't play. So no more hands for you.
He'd lost $5,000.
Without
grand
preparation.
And he was done.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's all I get.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. That's how he was cheated at the cards.
I can't get the cheated part from
that's,
that.
I also don't
All right.
get it.
I'm glad it's not just me.
No, I know. But like we started sort of in that roundabout way, we all come to think of it as in a quitting sense, in a quitting drug sense generally. Any withdrawal from an addictive substance is what I have noted here.
Right.
Which is from, again, 1921, a Canadian newspaper. Canadian. Canadian poet, Canadian newspaper. Maybe it's from Canada. Anyway, the quote from the Daily Colonist in October 1921, "Perhaps the most pitiful figures who have appeared before Dr. Carlton Simon are those who voluntarily surrender themselves. When they go before him, they, drug addicts, are given what is called the cold turkey treatment." And that's 1921. Referring to an actual withdrawal from addictive substances treatment.
What did they do for you?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They just locked you in the room like in Trainspotting, right?
I wouldn't watch that movie because I have that phobia.
Sure.
And so I had friends warn me. But Miles Davis locked himself in his dad's spare room or whatever, right?
Yes.
That's just how you do it.
That sounds like a popular way for folk.
I mean, yeah. if you have the chutzpah for it.
Yeah, yeah. But it sounds like people try to draw the cold, clammy skin and like withdrawal symptoms to be a literal, direct link to this phrase. Like, oh, that's called cold turkey because, you know, their skin's all sallow and goosebumpy and sweaty.
Ah.
But that's...
That's not it.
I mean, again, it's a part of what people think, like we say. You know, it becomes a part of the definitions that people toss around, but it doesn't seem to be related to that because it seems to be earlier than we used it for withdrawal symptoms. The cheated at cards, or perhaps cut him off without warning.
Cut him off without warning.
There's another theory that it comes from the fact that it takes very little effort to make a cold turkey sandwich.
I don't like this one at all.
No, of course. It's incorrect because you have to like make a turkey and then get cold turkey from that turkey.
Yeah.
So like it takes a load of effort.
Tons.
To make a turkey. Yeah. But I think the most plausible origin is that it stems from another idiom, talk turkey.
Go on.
Just talk turkey meant to lay out the cold hard facts, I guess.
Oh yeah, let's talk turkey.
Right. So that phrase talk turkey actually became talk cold turkey, which meant the cold hard facts. I jumped ahead with the cold hard facts part. 1928. Oh, I didn't write down from where I got this quote. Dang it. Sorry. 1928, she talked cold turkey about sex. Cold turkey means plain truth in America. This was defined in 1928 with that phrase and that example.
Yeah.
Straightforward. Yeah. It's cold turkey means plain truth.
Yeah.
Talk cold turkey.
Okay. Plain truth
evolves
into quit without warning.
Even suddenly.
Though quit without warning in the card game was earlier than this gal.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the talk cold turkey is the phrase.
Yeah.
Where they think. So that is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking cold turkey.
And that's how a bill became a law?
Yeah, we were wrapping up with the cold turkey.
All right.
Talk cold turkey.
You know
turkey.
What? Quit without warning.
Yeah, they do that. I'll do that on you. I'm like, nah, I'm done here.
Came without ribbons.
That's the most plausible origin, is that it came from the longer idiom, or the other idiom, talk turkey. Which then became talk cold turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hear, I mean, you know, when we were talking this week prior, I had said that John Lennon song. I don't know if you looked at John Lennon, but that's the first time I heard it, you know, whatever, as a teenager, John Lennon after the Beatles kind of song, but it's kind of like a Beatles song. Maybe he had it
ready
back then, you know. Anyway.
Is it about quitting drugs?
Yeah, you know, it has to be, but I don't know. You know, he loved the lyrics between the lines, so I'm not sure I remember all the lyrics, but I just remember the guitar riff and it goes on and on. But yeah, cold turkey.
Cold turkey. What do you have to end this?
Well, might get me to end this by egging me on.
I will egg you on to get out of my segment here.
Sorry, I was dragging into that, wasn't I?
No, it's fine.
No, yeah. Egg on.
Yeah.
And so if I say that to you, Ray.
Yes.
I egged you on. What am I doing?
You're enthusiastically encouraging me to do something. Encouraging me to do something? How's that?
Yeah. Inciting, urging, provoking.
Yeah, provoking, nice.
And there are some definitions that include a sort of reference to, I am not only provoking someone, I am provoking them probably to do something unthought out.
Mischievous.
Possibly.
sure. It has that, yeah, right, exactly.
That's how we use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. On some kind of, sorry.
But in the explanation of the phrase, that doesn't bear out exactly, so it feels more like something that that evolved in it, you know. But I jump ahead. What's the opposite of a digress? So here's some interesting things, though, about it.
All right. Did it start from a phrase called chickening me on?
Ha ha. Ha. So, this word is old.
All right.
So this is old.
Did it come before the chicken?
Yeah, this is way, we didn't even have chickens. And this is old stuff. So I have to walk on eggshells. Okay, I'm getting crazy.
No, that's good.
No, I got to watch because there are things I need to tell you some things, but I don't want to tell you everything because that'll give it away.
Now.
Yeah, and I want so it's been around, this egg word, since 13th century, they say now. And it's funny, there was a variation of the word which is eggity. It's E-G-G-E-D-E. Now, in researching that one is really tough because it comes up as a person's last name more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
It's a surname.
Huh.
But there are other versions of the word that are much more easily researched.
Egedemion.
Egedemion. So there's a Middle English quote that's in Horace, His Art of Poetry, Pistols and Satires, Englished 1566. He egged them on to speak some thang, you know how they do?
Yes, I do.
Which spoken may repent them. Gee, I kind of like that one.
Mm-hmm.
So 1566, that was already, boom.
Right, we're using it to mean that.
Yeah, it's in play already.
Yeah, egedy is go.
Egedy. Now, I will tell you this, again, being just a part of a fact. Egg, Norse origin, sort of be defined as the sharp edge of a sword. Some say sword.
Sword?
Yeah. And
a sharp edge is called an egg?
Yes.
Okay.
And, but, you know, their G's were probably J-like, so it's edge.
Edge.
Yeah, you know? So.
Oh. Yeah.
You can get confused with that edge thing because mm-hmm. there's some people that thought, I think this derives from that,
yeah.
That these Norman invaders pricking Anglo-Saxon prisoners in their buttocks with their spears. And there's a ECG version of egg, which was also like the point, I guess, of these swords. So mm-hmm. you get the edge and then you got the tip. Edge, you
yeah.
know? And so there's a lot of speculation about aging someone on to be, you're pricking them with your sword, which is still plenty plausible,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But of all of these definitions, what it really strangely boils down to...
Nice.
Yeah, it really does, because what I wasn't telling you 100% of up front...
Misleading.
Well, not really.
No, you sure?
So there is this old Norse definition of this word, which came in several different variations that were, you know, great fun to research.
Yeah.
E-D-D-J-A, E-G-G-D-J-A, lots of different spellings of this word, but they really boil down to, they had a definition of that word.
Yeah.
In the 13th century, that meant to incite or push someone into doing something.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So we haven't changed it at all.
At all.
But because instead of saying edja
mm-hmm.
or any variation of that,
yeah, right.
we turn those G's to hard consonant G's, egg.
Yeah.
And then think we mean the chicken egg,
right.
hen egg, whatever. And and then lose all sense of the origin and meaning of it. But
yeah.
we're really right there. We're right on top of it.
It's just, that's it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that meaning hasn't changed for 800 years.
Oh, man.
Edge someone on.
Incite them.
Provoke them.
Provoke. Nice.
So that, the story behind that is there's no story.
It is what it is.
And orange is an orange.
It's always been.
Yeah.
Edge.
Yeah. So I'd like to edge on the end of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Let's incite that.
Incite and provoke us.
Provoke the end.
Provoke that music in.
Yes.
Hey, we didn't talk to people. If you're still here.
Yes.
And those were good. They're concise.
Yeah.
Foodstuffs. Hit us up. Man, we want listener thoughts like you can't believe it. So bring them to us on Instagram or Twitter. What's that one, Ray?
At Whole Nine Yards Pod.
Is that nine, like nine?
That's a nine, like a number nine, in fact.
Whole Nine Yards Pod.
Number nine.
Instagram or Twitter. Just send us comments or thoughts.
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
No.
Right? And please follow us, review us, star us. It all helps us if you like this at all.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
for all of that.
Indeed.
And we'll see you next week.
Indeed, we will. I'm,
oh, sorry.
No.
We will, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Jay.
I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@wholenineyards.org. That's heyyou@wholenumber9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.